Sportsnet 650.
We have E. Spencer Kite from the province, MMA specialist and all-around good sports guy. Spencer, how are you today, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
We are doing fantastic, well, yeah. But are we as good as GSP?
I mean, the bigger question that Wyatt posed on Twitter is GSP the dean of the UFC or the dean of the GSP of the NHL? Do you find GSP entertaining?
Well, oh, yeah, John. So let us know. Do you think GSP is an entertaining fighter?
I think he's a superstar.
Do you think so? Yeah. But is he entertaining?
Yeah.
This fight.
Saturday, he was very entertaining.
But has he been for this career?
I know historically the knock on him is that he's very technically sound, a little bit boring, plays it safe, goes for the points, goes for the unanimous decision. But come on, E. Spencer, you got to call it what it is. GSP looked like a completely different animal on Saturday against Michael Bisping.
He did. He looked phenomenal. And I think the stuff that the Freeman was called right at the start of that fight, that GSP didn't look outside. We had seen Johnny Hendricks earlier in the night. Just kind of looked like a puffed up welterweight. Looked very overmatched against Paulo Costa, who looked phenomenal in winning that fight. GSP looked really good. He looked like a true middleweight in there against Mike Bisping, who had started his career at light heavyweight. And then to cut back the way he did in that third round, because it felt like the momentum was changing. He looked like he was tiring. Michael Bisping was even getting better at things from the bottom for a while when GSP had taken him down, to be able to come back and finish that fight the way he did, so technically, so quickly, to win a second title, there's no way to deny that Jordan St. Pierre is a superstar.
Hey, Spencer, can you move a little bit? I think we're cracking up a little bit on the line, but I wanted to throw this by you, too, as far as GSP goes. You did touch on it. He did look like he was tiring a little bit, but technically, you see the influence that Freddie Roach has had with him, too, because he was standing up a lot more than we've seen in previous years.
Yeah, he looked as good as ever technically, or as good as we've always remembered. The jab is still best in mixed martial arts, best we've ever seen. But he did seem far more comfortable on his feet, and I don't know if that's just, you know, wanting to beat Mike Bisping a little bit at his own game and not come out and wrestle, wanting to make sort of the statement that he ended up making by landing some of those big shots. But he looked incredible, and it makes for a really interesting what comes next. And I think that's the best part of this and the best part of UFC 217 is that now there's a whole bunch of new questions. There's a whole bunch of new options. And it felt for a while like that wasn't the case in the UFC, but there is now. And I think myself and everybody else that's into the sport is really excited to see what happens next.
Well, I mean, he didn't sort of commit, right? Because he was asked, would you go back to welterweight? And he's like, well, you know, I think what I sort of caught from that answer was he can still be a welterweight easily. Mm-hmm. All this weight doesn't seem like it's going to bother him too much. You can easily cut down if he needed to.
Yeah, I think he did a fantastic job of not giving Joe Rogan an answer.
Right.
I think right now for George and coming back, it's about having those options. And, you know, that of course, evokes Conor McGregor, who after UFC 194 said, I have options, and that's never a bad thing. I think Jordan's in a similar place. Tyron Woodley will absolutely be lobbying for that fight to fit him at welterweight, for Jordan to come down and try to prove that he's the greatest welterweight of all time. Beating a guy that never lost the belt that Tyron now carries. I'm sure Robert Whittaker has tried very hard over the last couple of days to get that fight signed. He's the interim middleweight champ. Title unification makes sense. It's a huge opportunity for the 26-year-old Australian who looked great in July. And George can just kind of sit back and wait and see what the UFC has to say and take his pick of whatever fight interests him and excites him the most. George isn't a guy that's going to say, okay, which fight is going to make me the most money? It's about puzzles. It's about challenges. It's about risk and opportunity for him. So he'll take his time. I don't expect an announcement anytime soon. I think we'll go a good 6 to 8 weeks before we hear anything. But I also don't think that we wait until, you know, the second half of 2018 to see George St. Pierre back.
Is GSP now the greatest mixed martial artist of all time? Can you make that argument at this point?
I think he could have made that argument even before this fight on Saturday. There's obviously compelling arguments for John Jones. You can make a case for Anderson Silva, had the longest consecutive title defense streak until recently, most consecutive wins in the UFC. But both Sylvain and Jones have done things to damage their legacy in the last several years. Jones is all outside of the cage. That's the asterisk to me. I'm still holding out to see what Jones' latest suspension is going to be, when he comes back, if he comes back, what he looks like there. But right now, given everything that he's accomplished and what those other guys have done or maybe failed to do, I don't think there's anyone that, you know, really can have a strong argument against GSP. If you pick somebody else, fine. But for me, George St. Pierre is the greatest of all time.
This is E. Spencer Kite with The Province, an MMA expert and all-around sports wizard here in Vancouver. Spencer, so let me ask you this. UFC 217, will it go down in MMA history as one of the best fight nights of all time?
I think it should. I'm in the process of writing something basically that says that and lays out why that is the case right now. To have those three title fights end in succession the way they did, to go first round with Rose Namajunas, second round with TJ Dillashaw, third round comeback with GSP, all really exciting fights, all bouts where you had surprise moments and stunning moments early on, big shots that put guys down, and then everything that came before it. It was a really entertaining night leading up to it. There were two decisions on the night. We had the weird stuff that we always end up having in New York State. A bunch of really impressive finishes. For me to then throw three title fights on top of that, three title changes, and it's New York, and it's MSG, for me, it's the best event ever, and it's going to be hard to top. That's going to be the interesting thing, is now the bar's set really high.
It is a legendary venue for what ended up being a legendary fight night. But to talk a little bit about the preliminaries, James Vick defeating Joseph Duffy in a pretty controversial TKO decision. There was exactly 1 second left before the round came to an end. Did the referee call that too soon, or was that a fair calling?
I think you can make a case on both sides. I always come down on stop a fight sooner rather than too late. You never want to see a guy get hurt. You never want to see somebody take unnecessary damage. The ref isn't supposed to really be concerned about how much time is left on the clock. And that's the tricky part in that, right? We're watching at home. We hear those clackers for 10 seconds. We see the clock counting down and know that it's just about done and think, why didn't he let him go? He's just looking at what's happening in front of him. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought, It's a good stoppage, but if he had let it go and said no, he made it through to the end of the round, I wouldn't have been up in arms about that either.
Hey, Spencer, before you let you go, quickly on Paulo Costa, is he the next maybe superstar in waiting here?
I mean, he sure looks like it. Third straight victory in the UFC, third straight finish. I mean, he looks like an action figure.
Yeah.
He comes out there and he just, you know, if this is the WWE, he's a Vince McMahon guy. He's got that look. He's big. He's muscled. He's, you know, he goes out and finishes fights. He's really entertaining. I think the interesting part is that he has already started speaking about it. He said it after that fight. I'm the next big thing from Brazil. I'm the next big guy. I think that goes a long way. I think we'll see him get a really big push and get that opportunity to prove that going forward in 2018. What we've seen so far, he looks the part, but now's when it gets hard. Now's when he gets into some of those fights that'll really show whether he's a guy that's going to be super entertaining in the middle of that division and knocking out guys that he probably should beat, or if he's somebody that can be a real contender.
E. Spencer Kite, The Province, mixed martial arts specialist, combat sports specialist, and also a big hoops fan. Next time we get you on, we got to talk some NBA, all right, Ben?
Absolutely. Always.
Hey, great stuff, Spencer. Talking in soon. Keep up the good work. Sportsnet 650.